why worry? There's a lot of reasons for that, for us not to worry. And I've not found a reason biblically, I've not found a reason spiritually for us to worry. Because worry is not spiritual. Worry is not of the Spirit of God. It's not of the new nature. Worry is of the flesh. You'd have to agree with that. And in light of that, of course, worry is not faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if we're not careful, we'll make light of worry. Worry is a preoccupation of the mind. And worry is mental. Worry is mental because in the verses that we'll read tonight, five times, starting in verse 25 down through verse 34, five times it says, take no thought. And that word thought is the word identifying anxiety or anxious or worry. So why did he use the word thought to describe worry? Because worry is mental. Worry, as I said, is a preoccupation of the mind. Worry is that you can't think about that because all you think about is this. You can't get excited and focus on spiritual things because you're worried about something that's financial or physical or social or political or something like that. And it gets on your mind, it gets on your heart, and it robs you of being able to focus on Jesus. A good illustration of that probably would be Peter when he was walking on the water. He did well as long as he was walking by faith, when he was focused on the Savior. When Jesus was his focus. The wind and the waves are still blowing. The waves are still, beating, no doubt, against him. And all of that. But he did well. Circumstances could not control him, influence him, as long as he was focused on the Lord. But when he got his mind off of the Lord, and you think about that, if Peter, looking at the physical manifestation of Jesus, looking at a supernatural manifestation of Jesus, I mean, he's walking on the water in the middle of the night, the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour of the night. Here, Peter was looking at just not only the physical manifestation of Christ, but the supernatural manifestation of Christ. And if the waves and the surrounding circumstances can get so to the point that it would pull his eyes off of that, off of the Lord in that passage, how much more could the devil get our eyes off of the Lord? And we're looking by faith, We're not looking at a physical manifestation. Amen. We're taking what the Bible says. Certainly we can get our eyes off the Lord. But irregardless, if your eyes gets off the Lord, you're going to do what Peter did. You're going to sink. Worry is a preoccupation of the mind. Worry is a worship killer. How many of you come to church and the service is good? It can be all around you, waters to swim in, but because your mind was on something little, you couldn't get in on something big. Your mind was caught up with something that you could see, and a lot of times on something that you couldn't see, and something imaginary. And when you come into the service and what these girls sung about and the presence of the Lord that anointed that, that was reality. That wasn't fiction or fairy tale. That wasn't a dream. That was reality. That was truth, that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. But how many times you can't get in on it because your mind is on something else? Worry is a preoccupation of the mind. I thought about that coming to church tonight, how easy it is to get our mind on other things. That's right. Anyway, let's look in, actually we'll start reading in verse 19. Let's look at that, if you would. Verse 19 and following. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking. You're probably thinking, why did you read those verses when there was nothing said about those, in those verses about worry, about anxiety, about being careful? Because of the next word, the first word in verse 25, therefore. That one word, Brother Craig, reaches back definitely to verse 19. And I really looked at possibly going all the way back to verse 1 because I could see connection even in the different and various things dealt with in verses 1 down through verse 18, how that worry could be applicable to there. But I didn't go back there. I just started in verse 19 because we do know the word therefore at least reaches back to there, reaches back to that point. So let's begin now in verse 35. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And of course, remember this. Anytime you see the word therefore, it is there for a reason. When you see the word therefore, you need to stop and look at what it is there for. And what it is doing is connecting what has been said to what is getting ready to be said. Okay? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, we have a therefore, now we have a wherefore. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, another therefore comes along, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You can be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your goodness to us and your mercy and grace. We pray, Lord, that we'll think your thoughts. Help me, dear Lord Jesus, to say, Lord, nothing more than what you want said in this service tonight. Lord, we pray that we'll convey, Lord, to this awaiting congregation, God, that which you've ordered, what you've directed, and what you've laid upon our heart. And I pray you'll teach us in this day. We're in a day, Lord, when there's so many distractions and so many things that's fighting for our attention and fighting for our affection. I pray that you will help us to know, Lord, that being spiritual and being steadfast and persevering and continuing, Lord, will not be accidental and it will not be automatic. Lord, those things comes out of, Lord, us being focused. Lord, if we're worrying, Lord, if we're given to worry, dear Lord, it won't be long till there'll be wickedness, Lord, that'll creep in, and that weakness will creep in, and wandering will creep in, and then, Lord, we'll be on the shelf, Lord, no doubt. And Lord, there's people that's got out of church over worry. Lord, nobody's ever got out of church over faith, but how many people have gotten out of church because of preoccupation, of a circumstance? Something around them got too big in their life, and it's all they thought about and talked about, and it's all they ate and slept, and it consumed them and literally ruined them spiritually. I pray you help us, Lord, to know the devil is no respecter of persons, and he would just as soon, Lord, to get us as he has anybody before us. And Lord, no doubt his target is on us. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us to know that though he battles and fights and his target's on us, that he cannot be successful as long as we try, or long as we maintain our spiritual life, stay focused on the Lord Jesus. Lord, we can walk on the waters of circumstances that are boisterous around us. We can stay true and faithful. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As if you were here when we dealt with the first message on this passage of Scripture, we've been dealing with why worry. Basically, that's the whole subject that's being dealt with here is why. You're worrying, but why? What is, name one good thing that ever comes from it. Name something that worry has corrected. No, worry don't correct, worry causes. It doesn't correct a problem, it causes a problem. Worry was never a benefit. Worry is a burden. I've never been spiritual when I've been worrying. I've never wanted to pray when I've been worrying. I've never wanted to read the Bible when I've been given to worry. I've never wanted to really get involved in a worship service when I'm given to worry. My mind is preoccupied with something. Amen. And it may not be a big thing. That ought to show us how frail and feeble we are, because it don't take a big thing to get us in a big mess spiritually. Amen. The devil knows that. So what his plot is to just make it big in you. Brother Frank, what he'll do is he'll hold up, and if I'd have thought I was going to mention this, I'd have brought a magnifying glass tonight. That magnifying glass does not make the object bigger. It just makes it look bigger. And that's exactly what the devil specializes in. He doesn't make your circumstances bigger. He just puts a magnifying lens up to your eye and lets you look at your life and look at your surroundings and look at your situation through a magnifying lens. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, look how big. No, it's not big. Devil's just making it big. It's not big. The devil's just making you think it's big. And if you think it's big, then you're going to live like it's big. How many times we've been defeated with little things? Probably more times than big things. We just little things, preacher. No, we thought it was big. We acted like it was big. We believed it was big. We imagined that it was big. But in reality, especially compared to God and compared to the promises of God and compared to the Spirit of God and compared to eternity, Brother Ivan, it is little. No matter what you face is little. No matter what comes in your life is little. Amen. The only time you have anything to worry about is what's going on in your life gets bigger than God. Now, when God sends an angel and tells you, I can't handle it, then pop a nerve pill. Amen. Amen. You're in trouble. But that's not going to happen. Because God's already met your greatest need. And they sung about it tonight. What sins are you talking about? You didn't have the ability to remove one sin. You go into the whole catalog, not list. Catalog of the sins of your life, dig through, sift through, find the smallest sin, and you didn't have the ability to pay for that. You didn't have the ability to remove that from your record. Jesus Christ has took care of all of your sin. Amen. That's right. And if he has already done that, and he has, amen. Praise God. Then anything else that comes in my life is minor or minute compared to that. Amen. That's good. Well, praise the Lord. But anyway, we want to start down through this passage of Scripture and just kind of look at it. And I don't know that I'll get past the first point tonight. And really, the first point is so big in its truth that I hope we don't get past it, be honest. I hope we never get past it. Verse 19 and 20, I want to read those, actually verse 19, 20, and 21 again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see anything in those three verses that usually is connected to people's worry? Treasures. Well, I got to looking at this passage. Lord just opened it up in my heart. Let me see it in light of why worry. Connected to all these verses that I read. Here's a word that caught my attention, and it's used five times in these three verses. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where? Mark that word. I got just a little pencil line in it. Where moth rust doth corrupt? Where thieves break through and steal? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there, that's a big word, will your heart be also. So the first thing that I want to start with, at least tonight, and dealing with, I want to talk about worry is a sphere problem. It is a sphere, S-P-H-E-R-E. Sort of like the atmosphere. It's a sphere problem. Well, there's only two options. There is earth, is in verse 19, and verse number 20 talks about heaven. Or if you wanted to put it in alliteration where you remember it, earth in verse 19 and eternity in verse number 20. Those are the two realms, if you will. Those are the two spheres of that we're considering tonight. Well, actually, there's only one of them that is a sphere of worry. I've never been worried in the heavenly. Brother Fultz, I've never been worrying anything to do with the heavenly sphere. Because there's nothing in heaven to worry about. Say amen right there. If you get that one line right there, you've got a lot of the message tonight. There's nothing in heaven to worry about. Amen. Can you think of anything? Can you think of anything divine to worry about? Can you think anything around the throne to worry about? Amen. There was only one, and that got settled for me 35 years ago. I was worried it wasn't going to make it. I was worrying that I wasn't going to be there. But when I got saved, that got took care of. The old account got settled long ago, went down on my knees. I prayed and asked God to save me. So there's nothing in heaven to worry about. You don't have to worry about the throne being empty. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about the devil overcoming the throne or overcoming God, because he already tried that. He tried that when he was the chief cherub, when he was over the music in heaven. He tried to overthrow God according to Isaiah, and I believe Ezekiel even makes some references to that. But he got thrown out himself, amen. So we don't have to worry about the throne being unoccupied. Here, and it can't come soon enough that we'll get to vote in another president, Lord willing. Amen. I wish it was tomorrow. But if we can survive till we can have it. But, you know, there'll never be a time that we'll have to have another Savior, another God. Amen. Because he's eternal. But he's talking about lay up, not up for yourselves. That's a negative. And then verse number 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now keep in mind that if I can lay up a treasure somewhere, that means I do have connection there. I mean, if I were to have some treasure to put in the bank, Brother Ivan, I can go down here to the bank and I can walk in and with a deposit slip that's got my name on it, and I can just hand it to them and they can pull up my account. Brother Frank, in other words, I can put money in that bank because I have a connection there. My name connects me there. I have access there. Well, if I can lay up treasures on earth because I've got access, I can lay up treasures in heaven because I have access. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. Well, amen. There's the sphere of worry. Of course, worry is confined to this life, isn't it? Nothing that you're worried about right now when you draw your last breath. If you're saved now, if you're saved, Brother Fultz, if everybody in here is saved, when you draw your last breath, ain't nothing here that you worried about going with you. Name one thing that you're taking with you that you're worried about. Can you think of any? I mean, one thing that you're worrying about right now that's not going to be left on this side. Earth is the sphere of worry. Heaven is not the sphere of worry. So he's dealing with us being focused. Keep in mind what I said a while ago, that worry is a preoccupation of the mind. Amen. And we've all known each other long enough. I've been here long enough. You've been here long enough. We all know each other long enough to know that none of us have arrived on this subject. None of us in here are so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. If anything, the other's true. We're so earthly minded, we're not much heavenly good. That's right. Amen. You may not be worrying tonight, but what could happen tomorrow that would stir a life of worry? Days of worry, sleepless nights of worry. What could it be? Amen. Now you remember, I don't have time to go back and deal with it. You'll just have to get the CD of the first time, the first message we preached on it, when care turns into worry. A lot of people say, well, if you don't worry, you don't care. If you care, you're going to worry. No, you can care, you can be concerned without that developing into worry. And I mentioned that in that first message, how that when care starts breeding deadness and decline in doubt in your life spiritually, then you know that you've went beyond care and you've went into the realm of worry. Because God won't bless that. God won't bless that. No. He won't bless you to bless your worry. Well, you say, preacher, what? Here's a good definition of the word sphere. Or a good way to define it, a good way to explain it, a good way to describe it. And I was just thinking about that word, looking at it. When you think about the sphere of worry, just look at the word that's inside that word. What is it? Here. I see it right there, ain't it? That's the sphere of worship, or worry is here. In this life, the nasty now and now is the sphere of worry. But he's telling us here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And here's why. He showed that there's nothing permanent about it. In fact, moth and rust can corrupt it and thieves can steal it. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. He said, don't focus your attention on what can be gone tomorrow, but rather get into verse 20 and 21 and focus your attention on that which is permanent. Focus your attention on that which is eternal. Focus your attention on that sphere, if you will, that moth and rust has no access. Thieves have no access unless they get saved. And then they're no more a thief. Amen. I know one thief I'm going to meet one day. And that was the one that got saved on the cross, praise God. Jesus told him today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. One of these days, I guarantee you, I'm going to get to shake that man's hand. Hallelujah. Because according to what Jesus said, he is in paradise. He is in heaven. Amen. But you don't have to worry about laying up treasures on the other side and thieves breaking through and stealing and taking it. Amen. Boy, I'm glad there is the permanent. Listen to this right here. I wasn't going to mention this. This came to my mind. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Here's a big word. Unto a lively hope. We've been begotten. Begotten is a birthing word. We've been begotten again unto. And I like that word again. It's not talking about the physical birth. He's talking about the second birth. Same note that Jesus talked to Nicodemus with. You must be born again. Why again? Because your first birth and nothing attached to your first birth can ever produce salvation. That's why you got to be born again. Your first birth can't never do it. Amen. If your first birth or anything that's attached to that works, or anything that attached or can come from your first birth, anything that's attached to that, if it could produce salvation, then you wouldn't have needed to be born again. You just would have needed to be reformed and straighten up and turn over a new leaf. But we need to be born again, which simply means to be born from above. That's what that word means, to be born from above. Amen. Your physical birth is an earthly birth. That's why it's going to keep you here. And you'll go back to the dirt that you come from. Because your physical birth can't get you out of here. Amen. That's right. You got to get a birth that's going to get you out of here. And that's got to be a birth that's not from here. That's a birth that's from above. Amen. To be born from above. Have you been born from above? Amen. We're getting a little sidetracked right here, but maybe we're on track right here. Born from above. Have you been born from above? Born of the Spirit of God. Have you been born again? Amen. That's right. You'll never get out of here unless your birth is not from here. You got to listen. You know the world that you live in, Brother Silas, is the world that your first birth put you in. And there's no way for you to get out of this world unless you are born again, born from above. And just as your physical birth put you into this world, you being born from above will put you into that world. That's how I know I'm leaving here one of these days, because I've been born from above. Amen. And by the way, just look, this has got everything to do with worry. I started saying, I don't know what this has got to do with worry, but it's got everything to do with worry. Or curing it, fixing it, amen, fighting it, opposing it, is to focus on the fact that I'm born from above. My new birth, my spiritual birth, is not of this world. It's from heaven. And just as my physical birth put me in this world, my spiritual birth, my heavenly birth, is going to put me in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, anyway, have you been born from above? And you can't be born from above without having heaven's life in you. Yeah, that's right. I'm really fearful about this. I'm fearful a lot of people sitting on church pews in churches just like ours all across this country and around the world, they're in for a rude awakening, I'm afraid, when Jesus comes, or else when their last breath leaves their body. Because they're, and I'm going to tell you why I think that, Brother Fultz, they're embracing a profession of faith that has not given them life. I'm talking about don't see no spiritual life in them. It don't matter who's singing. It don't matter what's being sung. It don't matter who's preaching or what passage of Scripture's being preached. They never get excited about nothing spiritual. The only time they get excited, it's about some kind of something earthly. Come on now. That's the only time they get excited. It's about something earthly. a ball game or ball team or a fish or a good sale they found at Walmart or something. It's the only time they ever get nothing spiritual. I wouldn't have that. Read my lips. I wouldn't have that. And if you've got that, I would junk that. I would trade it all for a piece of bubble gum or something you could get something out of. That's right. Well, amen. I better get off that. But I am concerned about that. Never seem to get interested and get excited about something spiritual. Everything to get fired up about is earthly, financial, social, natural of this world. And that's natural. Brother Frank, that is as natural as it can be for somebody that's never been born again. Why? Because they only have one birth. They only have one birth, and it's an earthly birth, a physical birth. It's a right now in this world birth. And they're hooked up with this world. They have no hook up with the world to come. And that's why they never get excited about the coming of the Lord or the cross or the resurrection or redemption or any of that. I wouldn't have it. I don't have it, praise God. I don't have it, and I wouldn't have it. And if you've got it, I'd get rid of it. Because you embracing that in the day of judgment will be like holding on to about a 400-pound piece of cement and try to swim with it. The very thing you're going to embracing is the very thing that's going to sink you. Amen, that's right. Well, how I got on that? I was trying to read about here how we've been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here it is, talking about heaven's sphere is not one of worry, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. And Peter said this, wherein that list, that truth, that inheritance, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Where's that at? Where's that greatly rejoicing at? Anyway, that's good, I thought. Amen. So that lets us know that if we're worrying, we're locked up in verse 19 of our text. Is that right? If you're worrying tonight, don't excuse it. Well, preacher, you know what's going on in my life. Well, if we were talking human to human, I'd say, well, I understand your worry. And I would probably say this, I'd probably act worse. Or I would react worse. But we're not talking about you being justified by my actions, by me telling you I would probably act the same or I would probably act worse. That is not going to let you off the hook, nor is you going to let me off the hook. Amen. Our problem of this sphere of worry is that we are locked up with a human earthly focus. That's it. We're worrying about stuff that's on this level instead of stuff that's on that level. Well, let's look right here. Y'all ready? I'm just going to read this. Turn to Colossians 3. Look at Colossians 3. There's no text that could say it any better of what I'm trying to emphasize than this passage right here. Are you there? Say amen. Colossians 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Some of you heard me preach during the last few minutes about being born from above and focusing on that world and living for that world. Well, right here's the text. Right here is a proof text. If ye then be risen with Christ, that is a term that identifies you're saved. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where is the above? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Is that passage right there, does that not classically describe what I've been trying to preach? Some of you say, well, you shouldn't have preached. You should have just read those verses and we could have already been to the house. Well, maybe I needed to preach it and then read it. But it says here, seek those things. If you've been risen with Christ, that word if identifies the word since. Since it is a fact, if it is a fact that you are saved, seek those things which are above. Now keep in mind, he's showing us that the seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, is the result and the consequence of being saved. If you be risen with Christ, here's what's going to be the result of that. Seek those things which are above. Boy, if that right there is laid out as the rule, that's going to eliminate a lot of people. Seek those things which are above. And then it said in verse 2, set your affection on things on the earth. You know why? Listen, you know why that we're tied up in verse 19 of our text in Matthew 6? That's where our affection's at. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth where moth rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. And then he summarized it in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What about that? For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you appear with him in glory. So that helps us to identify, and I've not got where I wanted to get, but that helps us to identify the sphere of worry, and it's not heaven. It's not heaven. You ought to just tell yourself, and I need to tell myself, next time that you're worrying, just tell yourself that you're not heavenly minded. You're not scripturally minded. You're not biblically minded. You're naturally minded. Amen. I'm not going to tell you a message series that I've got working on that's coming soon. But it came. Now, if I ain't careful, I'll preach some of it. That's the thing. Pastor and you study, and you got all things, stuff going on, and they start running together if you're not careful. Yeah. God help us. But Friday, our Jubilee, and if you were here, God was all over my heart and life in that service, because I made the choice for that. Amen. When I came Friday night to our Jubilee, there were so few here, Rosales, I about got plumbed down over it. I really did. I about got plumbed down over it. But then God helped me to make a deliberate choice. No, I am not allowing that. I'm not going that direction. I am going to go a spiritual direction. I'm going to respond spiritually. And I mean, God let me do it. God let me exhort there for probably 15, 20 minutes or more. I don't know. And I mean, God was just thick. And then I got home. This is what's stirring this whole nother line of messages coming up. When I got home, I got so defeated I couldn't even hardly breathe. And I wallowed in that. I wallowed in that. Y'all know what waller is, don't you? Like a pig in a mud hole. I mean, I was just, yeah, poor old me. And oh, Lord God. And just, I mean, just, it was awful. And the further it went, the worse it got, and the deeper it got, and the muddier it got. And the more stanky it got. I mean, it was just awful. And I never one time thought, what spirit was that? Now, Miss June, when I was here exhorting Friday night, I don't have to ask myself what spirit that was. But then when I get home and that got on me, and it was a spirit. And I began to think, I should have thought quickly, no, that's not God, and turned it off. But I didn't. But the next day, the next morning, I got to thinking, how could I go from exhorting, about to sprout wings and go to heaven, and then go home and wallow around in misery as if God was dead? And God began to show me, I'm not identifying the spirits that are influencing my life. You know, 1 John 4 says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. And to make a long story short, and messages forthcoming, is that we, most of the time, are governed and controlled by spirits that is not the Holy Spirit. And we don't stop to try those spirits. We don't stop to say, well, wait a minute. How could I go from exhorting and about to jump over the pulpit and have God all dripping and then go home and just, I mean, just beyond the bottom. I mean, I'd have to reach up to touch the bottom. How could it go from one extreme to the other in just a matter of a few hours? Well, actually, not even hours. Never even thought about, wait a minute, where's this coming from? Most time I just say, yeah, Lord, why don't people feel sorry for me? You know? Instead of stopping, Brother Fultz, and say, wait just a minute. Try the, I'm done preaching some of it. Try the spirit means you put it in the courtroom and bring out the evidence on it. Try the spirit. And I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. What is the deal? And old Preacher Ackley was being influenced by spirits, little s, instead of the Holy Spirit. Well, I can't wait to preach on that sometime somewhere down the way. Anyway, look at verse, let me just give you this right here. Prayer, look back in chapter 6, look at verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, talking about the believer now, them others was fakers. Here comes the believers. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. And where was it there that we're told in the model prayer to pray our Father? Which, where? Where is he? Where thou, which art in heaven. Is that one of the spheres in our scripture? He said, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now watch this right here. When you pray, that is your connection to the world to come. Because that God is, in time of prayer, God allows that atmosphere to be heavenly and holy, because he himself, Miss Betty, comes and manifests and meets with you in the prayer closet. When we are tied up in, I'm right now done, when we're tied up in verse 19, to where we're just completely consumed with earthly things And most of the time that's earthly goals, earthly problems, pressures, whatever. When we're in verse 19, Brother Fultz, we don't want to pray much. Because praying's a heavenly thing. It's a heavenly hookup. It's not in this world. It's not of this world. But when we want to be in verse 19, verse 20 and 21, Brother Silas, the best way to do that is to spend time with God in prayer. Because that is your hookup with God. Do you realize that God has given you, God gives you grace for every mile and trial? You think about this. This is big right here. Based on Hebrews 4, 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is grace for every need and every trial and every mile, but it's only found at the throne of grace. So if you don't pray at the throne of grace, you may deal with some things in your life without grace. Amen. Well, I didn't really even get as far as I wanted to. I wanted to get on further down in this passage, but I think you got the point of the sphere of worry. It's not heavenly, it's earthly. It's when we're looking and focusing on the horizontal instead of the vertical. May God help us with that. Preacher Rackley needs daily help with that right there. Brother Travis, that illustration I gave our men to go about after the Jubilee, sir, did I get in that low condition because I was thinking about heaven? Did I get that shape, Miss Susan, thinking about him? Thinking about I done got out of the heavenly and I done got earthly again. Yeah, I done got earthly again. That's right. And I guarantee you, old Preacher Ackley's not the only one here like that. Go from up here, shouting the victory, walking on cloud nine, God's a helping, God's a blessing, and next thing you know, you're down here worrying yourself over something, preoccupied with your mind and your thoughts and your heart and your affection. It would do us well to read those verses, 19, 20, and 21, several times, many times, and then turn, flip over, and read Colossians 3, verse 1 through, what was it, verse 1 through 5, or whatever that section was. We're to read them often. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us.